said about freedom before, and the last song mentioned borders, because we're going to talk a little bit about, because you don't get enough of it on the daytime news, a little bit of COVID stuff today again, because this is really good stuff, and it's just interesting, freedom, borders, and so on. Lord, I just pray that you bless today's word and bless everybody here, and that they'll hear something, I guess, that will change the way they look at things. It certainly changed the way I looked at things this week, as I realized that the old song says, he's got the whole world in his hands, and he truly does. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Let's see how we go. Oh, lockdown. Now, shame Mike's out the back, because he would know about all this stuff, so we could probably educate him, because he doesn't watch the news. But has anyone been watching Melbourne this week? You know, put your hands up. I've never seen anything like this in my life. And probably not since the Vietnam War protests and stuff have we seen anything like this in our country. Maybe ever. So just to go through it, so Melbourne's been in lockdown now for, I think it's about 270 days, which is roughly 9 months. You've been allowed to go to work and go home, and that's pretty much it. 9 months. You can have a baby in that time. Next one. Next slide. It started out as peaceful protests. So, you know, I don't want to wear a mask. I shouldn't have to. It's my God-given right not to. And, of course, Bill Gates is going to put a chip in your arm. By the way, I had my first vax, and my Wi-Fi has never been better. But, you know, you can protest if you like. And I think the cop has got it right, standing at the back there. Everyone, of course, wearing their masks and social distancing. All right, not the mask bit, but social distancing. Go to the next one. This is where it all started to go a little bit haphazard this week, when they said certain professions are going to have vaccinations or you can't work. Now, we can argue about whether you should be allowed to do that or not, but the straw broke the camel's back this week for a lot of people when they said, enough's enough. Yeah, I'm not doing that. And it turned into, next slide, that. Now, if you haven't been watching it, some of this stuff's really heartbreaking. That's not Australia. That's America. Yeah, America can have that stuff. Fortunately, we live in Australia. In America, they have guns too. But that's Australia. And it seems like so far away, yet it's just across the border. And I thank God that it hasn't happened here in Adelaide. Because I don't know how I'd take that. Some of those cops would be friends. Some of the people on the other side, some of those nut jobs, they'd be friends too. And I say nut jobs carefully. Some of them are just that damn frustrated. They just don't know what else to do anymore. And this is Australia. And some of the footage of them blocking the Westgate Freeway and poor old lady in her car and blokes jumping on her bonnet, mind you, if you saw that picture, that was a Bentley. I think she's going okay. It's just interesting. And then to top it all off, we had an earthquake in Melbourne. Melbourne didn't get earthquakes. It reminds us how fragile, I guess, sometimes life is and how fragile our lives are and our sheer existence is that that happened. Now, don't panic too much about the earthquake in Melbourne. It was pretty much just that one wall. But it's just a reminder that, I guess, God's got it in his hands or he hasn't. So where's God? Where's God in all that? I've been asked so many times by people this week, where's God? I said, well, he's here with me. And the response generally is, either he's here with you, James, or he's on holidays. I'm on holidays, by the way, for the next 2 weeks. I just thought I'd throw that in. But if God's not on holidays, maybe this is the end of the world. Maybe everything's about to pack up. I don't know. But God is here right now. I'll tell you, God's here right now. God's here right now. I'm going to show you some really cool pictures shortly, but Jesus is here with you right now. And yet, we see that God is here right now, and we can say he's here right now. We can feel his presence, that everything's cool and it's calm. And yet, things like that happen, and we start panicking. We start worrying, and we're wondering what's happened next. I can't tell you what's going to happen next. I didn't know an earthquake was coming. I didn't know they were going to start rioting and turning each other and throwing bricks, and the police would start shooting people. I don't know what's going to happen next, but if God's here, God's got it under control. And we've got to be calm and relaxed about it. So if you're stressed, if you're worried about what's next, know God's next to you. Or, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. He's here. So I want to pray to God today to say, give us peace amidst all that. Give us peace and assure us it's going to be okay and that God loves you. On the next slide. You use this today. God demonstrates his love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And yet somehow we tried to hide our sin from God. He's in high vis, of course, so that means he's probably part of those riots and protests and things and stuff. But we spend our time trying to cover sin up. God sees it and says, I'm still going to send my son to die for you. What a gift. God loves us and God's with us. But the devil will spend so much time trying to trick you that that sin that you did, that you know about, pointing at you, that it stands between you and God. It doesn't. God's forgiven it. That cross up the back, that's where you leave it. That's where we leave our sins. And I don't know. I find sometimes that I just keep replaying my sins over and over in my head. Oh, that thing I did, God won't forgive that one. That's your picture there. God sees it all. And yet he still sent Jesus to die for me while I was sinning. Where do you leave your sins? In the next slide. At the cross. And I Googled this one on the internet today. This is quite interesting. That the cross was both the end, but it was also the beginning. It's kind of cool. And that we're justified by grace. Now, the young people will get this. It's a shame my kids aren't more here because they sort of understand this more. Justified means justified, never done it. Do you like that? Yeah. That's the sort of spelling my kids have come up with as well. In a world full of fear and worry, we've got to remember that. And remember that we're saved by grace, we are justified, and that God's here with us and it will be okay. And that's who we are. I know that's who I am. I hope it's who you are. Luke, is that who you are? Amen. Okay. On the next slide, this is a really interesting one. It's interesting when you start reading Bible verses and you remember the ones that you've known for so long and then you realise, ooh, I didn't see that little bit on the end. So in 1 John 4:18, that's John on the right. No, it's not. I'll explain who that is in a moment. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Cool. Don't have to be afraid anymore. Fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. I hadn't read that bit before until this week. That there's a second part to it. Anyone know who that guy is on the right? That's the scary guy. You don't believe me, Google him. You can't Google this one, it's okay. His name is the scary guy. I Googled the scary guy thinking I'll try and get a scary guy. That is actually the scary guy. It's interesting that bloke is a professional speaker. He goes around and his job is basically to talk about prejudice, hate, violence, bullying in schools and so on. You can imagine how much he would get. Probably brought a little bit on himself, maybe, but if that guy walked into our church, I'd be scared. Don't know about you. There's three L's that we talk about at work. I started to get this into work conversations. Listen, love, learn. Okay? So if that bloke walks in, how about you just listen to him? How about you just love him and learn from him? Okay? If God's here with us, we establish that God's here with us, and if God's got it under control, why are you worried about that guy walking in? God's favour's on us. God supports us. God's got it under control. And yet we spend our time worrying what that's going to do. This guy's going to come into church. Oh, geez, imagine what he would say. Probably yell out something during the sermon, or he might start smoking something during the sermon. Who knows? You know what? Good luck to him. I'm not afraid. God's got it under control. So if your life's gone a little bit crazy this week, imagine them poor old people in Melbourne. At a click of a fingers, riots are broken out. People are being shot with rubber bullets, I know, but it's still something hard to believe. Melbourne gets an earthquake then. Melbourne gets an AFL premiership. So glad Nick's not here today. The world's gone bonkers. But there's a reminder there that you're not in control of your life. And if you think you're in control of your life, you're delusional. Because 30 years ago, my uncle was killed. And it didn't make sense, and it still doesn't make sense to me today. And I know I've spoken about that before, but you think your life's under control. You're going to leave here today, and you're going to get hit by a truck or something, and it's over. You are not in control. I hope it doesn't, but you are not in control. God's in control. Don't fear it. He's here with us. He's got this under control. He allowed that earthquake to happen. He allowed the riots to happen. I don't know why, but it's in control. What's your job? Next slide. Let's call this the greatest commandment. Matthew 22, 37, 39. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Well, it's your job. That's your job. And the second is pretty much like it too. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's your job. So if you're spending all your time worrying about things, you can't be doing that. And we saw on the previous thing, it says, perfect love casts out fear, but those who fear pretty much don't have that perfect love. So you've got a choice to make about whether you're going to have love or fear. I do love that picture. This idea that I'm standing here right now, all those dudes around me, all those angels, God's messages around me. Bring it on. What are you going to hit me with? Rubber bullet? What are you going to hit me with? COVID? I ain't worried. Because God's with me. Not just the angels. God's with me everywhere I go. God's with you, Matt, everywhere you go. If their fire breaks out, there's a fiery, don't be afraid. God's with you. I don't know that all your mates would realise that. I don't know that they necessarily have all those people with them, but I do, and you do. And yet we worry about things like COVID and earthquakes and stuff. And we worry about riots, and we worry about the future. Who's worried about the future? Who's worried about how they're going to pay bills? Paul, we've had some chats recently. It's getting tight. Don't be worried about it. It's different to, you know, to do something about it and to plan and play your role, but don't be worried about it. On the next slide, we talk about he's got the whole world in his hands. I wonder sometimes if we really believe he's got the whole world in his hands, because that includes you and includes all of us in this room. He's got the whole world in his hands, and yet we worry. So if you think about if there's God's hands and he's got the whole world in there, why do we worry about things? Why can't we just leave it with God? And that brings me to my friend on the right here. I think he's got the right idea. Give it a go driving home today. No, that was a joke. But let God drive. It's interesting how much time we spend worrying about what might happen. Oh, if this happens, oh, I'm not sure how, what we're going to do. And that happens. And what if those riots do come to Adelaide? What if we're in lockdown for 9 months? What about pretty much everyone that doesn't have a government job is out of work? As it seems to be the case in Melbourne. Would we still let God drive at that point? Vaccines, boosters, variants, wars. This week, the week before, we had nuclear submarines. Now the New Zealand won't let us go into New Zealand. You got China. When's COVID going to be over? When can I restart my business? When am I going to meet that special someone? I know a lot of people worry about that. How am I going to pay for bills? If you give everything to God and you let God drive, he'll take care of it. And you don't have to worry. Imagine having that sort of peace. God, I'm going to do my best. I'm going to give you everything I've got. I'm going to love with all my heart, all my soul, and all my mind. I'm going to love my neighbours, myself. And that's where it ends. I'm not going to worry about what the outcome is. The outcome may not be what I want. But God's got it in his hands. I'm getting old. Never get a laugh. Well, it's true. I'm getting old. I've been with the same employer for 30 years. By the way, I got promoted this week. That was really cool. But when you get old and you've been around a long time, people start to listen to you and people start to trust you. And it's really interesting at work that people come up to me and say, James, what do we do in this situation? And it's a shame Nick's not here, because Nick's worked with me for a few years directly. And I've had a number of people say to me, oh, James, you're not flustered by things that happen at work. And I just go, well, yeah, I've seen it before. Yeah. And then they'll be like, yeah, but, you know, this one was actually said to me, James, some dudes are calm. You're like you're in a coma. And I've seen people hit you and swear and throw things at you. And you'll get hit or whatever and you'll go, no. All right, I suppose we've got to get on with it. You go and do this, you go and do that. And you don't react, you're calm. And I say, yeah, because I've seen it before. Think about how old God is and how long God's been around and how much he's seen. I'm talking about 30 years of experience that I've had doing one thing. God's had how long? Now, if you want to put a lid on it and just say it's since the earth began, or putting aside if it's billions of years or whatever, let's even just say it's 7,000 years. That's a long time. It's a lot more than 30. Nothing worries me at work anymore. And yet we think God hasn't got it in control. Imagine how much stuff God's seen. And yet God knows what's happened in the past. He knows what's happening now. And he knows what's going to happen in the future. And we won't remember that. And we won't take, let go of the wheel. Let go of the wheel. Jeshua, give it a go next time you drive a car. You should see my boys driving there on their L's. Whew, I don't want them. I don't want them letting go of the wheel. You spend half your time reaching over and grabbing the wheel. Matthew 7:13-14 says that wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction and many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life and only few find it. That gets me thinking about that narrow road that, you know, if the car is so wide, the road would only be that little bit wider, and yet we try and drive. And I'm sitting there trying to take control of my life, and a turn comes up, and I'm like, oh, didn't see the turn coming quick. I've got to turn the car. God knows the road you're on. God knows the road that's to come. God knows how to drive that car. Let go, let him drive. And when I think about all the things we worried about in our lifetimes, now I've made a list here. So in the 60s and 70s, everyone worried about the Cold War, that we're all going to get blown up by nuclear bombs. In the 1980s, a whole lot of people worried about AIDS. And it's amazing, young kids wouldn't even know about any of this stuff. And then we had the Y2K bug. The world was ending. Yeah, it was over. What happened? Nothing. Then we had the invasion of boy bands. I still struggle with that one. And we had terrorism. We're all convinced we're all going to get planes blown into buildings and we're all going to get shot or blown up. Unfortunately for some people, it did happen. Then we had the GFC, which had nothing to do with Kentucky Fried Chicken. And we had and still have global warming. We got what's going on in the Middle East. Anyone got any idea what's going on in the Middle East? Any idea at all? I'll tell you, the experts don't know. They spent trillions in going in Afghanistan, the Americans, after the Russians tried it and failed. And what is it now? It's probably messier now than it was. No one knows what's going on in the Middle East. And then we had Trump. Never really preached about Donald Trump before. There are people that thought that was the end of the world. Now the other bloke's in charge. I can't remember his name. He can't remember our names either. That was a joke if you didn't know, you didn't know our Prime Minister's name. But we all think it's the end of the world. How about you just let go and just say, God's got it. God knows. It's going to be okay. What did we talk about before on the next slide? It's your job. That's what you've got to worry about. Your job. All your heart. All your soul. All your mind. Love your neighbour. That's it. That's all you got to worry about. But if you're busy worrying, you won't be able to do it. And from my experience, and this is just where my life's gone, if I'm doing all those things, right, God takes control and things start going in the right direction. He starts driving the car for me. When I'm worrying about things and I spend all my time going, well, if this happens, so I've got to prepare. If I'm a bit of a planner. So if that happens, I've got to have a plan for that. If that happens, I've got to have a plan for that. Nothing happens. But as soon as I let go, the blessings start flowing. Everything starts lining up. I don't know about you, but I would rather the blessings coming and God be in control than not. Amen? Exactly right. Next slide. That brings me to Acts 16. This is all about a lady by the name of Lydia. And there's not a lot of women's stories in the Bible, but there's a couple in there that are really, really impactful, but you'll miss them if you don't read it carefully. So I'm just going to read this briefly. So Acts 16, 11 to 15, so from Troas, and I apologise for some of the pronunciations if I get them wrong. We put out to sea, we being Paul and Luke. And we sailed straight for, we'll go for Samoth Race, looks all right. It's probably not. It's probably more Samothrace, like Liberace. And then the next day we went on to Neapolis, which was where they made ice cream. From there we travelled to Philippi, a Roman colony, and the leading city of that district of Macedonia, and we stayed there several days. Really important part, it's a Roman colony. Roman colony means it's not somewhere where they invaded and took over and they had to rebuild it after it was destroyed or whatever. It means they built it up to be like Rome. something pretty special. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of, we'll go for Thyatira, named Lydia. She was a dealer in purple cloth. Purple cloth means she was a big deal. So purple was a really rare colour. It was basically reserved for the royal family and the Los Angeles Lakers. I thought I'd get that in for you. It was a rare thing and worth a heck of a lot of money. So she was someone of power and influence. She was also a worshipper of God. When they say worshipper of God, you get the idea that it was a Judaism. The Lord opens her hearts to response to Paul's message. So Paul starts telling the message of Jesus. And when she and members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. So invited Paul and Luke to her home. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come stay at my house. And she persuaded us, and we did. So what you've got here is a story of Paul and Luke going along to a river. They go to a river to pray, to wash themselves before they pray. And they meet this woman who's of wealth and power. Paul says, here's the gospel. This is Jesus, dude. She goes, woohoo, I'm in. I mean, not quite that simple, but that's essentially what happened. And while that's an interesting story, when Luke writes in the Bible, and you read about the Gospel of Luke, he compares the kingdom of God to the kingdom of Rome. So it talks about how both of them claimed to rule. Both of them said they were the way to life and eternal life. And both said there would only be peace when their kingdom reigned. So until Rome comes, there won't be peace. Until Jesus comes, there won't be peace, and so on. So you've got this Lydia lady, and she is absolutely sown into the Roman kingdom. She's got access to Caesar and the royal family because she deals in purple cloth. She didn't want the Jesus life because she had the Rome life. Paul comes along and delivers the message to her, and what happens? She says, give me Jesus. Amen. From that point on, that's where the church of Philippi was born. Something as simple as that. In her house. So despite all her power and influence from the world, she said, I'll have Jesus. I'm not going to ruin the rest of the story. She used her position to cause the church in Philippi to grow, but you can read the book of Philippians. On the next slide, I've got the kids here, but we're older, us old folk, and the kids probably don't quite understand this, but I guess I'd say to the kids, if they're listening on podcasts and the like, and to us, don't be tempted by the power, fame, and wealth that the world offers us, okay? It's fleeting. I Googled the most popular celebrity in the world, so I thought, well, you know, they're a big deal. They've got everything. I don't even know who that number three bloke is. Does anyone know who that is? Oh, sorry, I've got to catch that again.
I can't catch the name. The Arkwood Phoenix.
Is that him? Is he the bloke from Gladiator?
No. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he went like this. Like that. The Joker. Well, he is a bit of a joker because I can't even tell who he is. I guess if I don't know who he is, he hasn't done much, but I don't know how much you've kept up with celebrities these days. Yeah, one, two. I can speak confidently about one, two, three, four, five of them. I don't know about the other bloke, about much about his life. They're seriously messed up. Really messed up. I don't know how many marriages each of them had. I don't know how many times they've been hitting the hard stuff, if you get my drift. And if you I shouldn't read the news, Mike. The Met Gala. If any of you watch this thing called the Met Gala, I don't even know what it is. But they're all rocking up. And, oh, dearie girls, put some clothes on. And stop kissing and, I'm just going to use the term, stop passing each other out the front of it. I don't even know what any of these people are doing. And yet that's what our kids view as something that you should aspire to be. That's attractive. I'll take the guy on the right. Yep. That's a simple life of peace. These guys don't have peace. They don't get it. And if you think that they've aspired to something that you should aspire to be, they're a mess. And one day we're all going to be called to account for our lives, and I know which side I want to be on. Because if I was on that left side, I'd be panicking. And you hear when they die the stories of, where am I going? What am I going to do? You read some stories of people on their last few days, and all they want is that peace. You can have that peace right now. You don't have to wait. You get heaven right now. Paul writes in the letter to the Philippians further on and says, don't look at the world, basically. Their mind is set on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. Go back to the previous slide, sorry. In 3:19-20, their mind, those guys, is set on earthly things, but our citizenship's in heaven. That doesn't mean heaven when you get to heaven. Our citizenship in heaven is now. So we're representing heaven. So when I get my COVID passport or whatever it's going to be, it says, James Smith, citizenship of heaven. We're God's reps right now. We're God's ambassadors right now. So we've got to show the world what we've got. I don't know about you, but I look around the world and I wonder how much worse it's going to get. It's interesting if you go back to the start of last year, everything was pretty good. Paul and we went to the Grampians. That was a good holiday, wasn't it? Everything was pretty calm and relaxed. And all heck broke loose straight after that. And yet we fast forward 18 months and it's still getting worse. That happened in Philippi. The people in the church were afraid. And Paul wrote to them about essentially that. Don't have your mind on earthly things. We belong to heaven. You've got a choice of fear or love. Yep. You can't have both. So if you've got love, let the fear behind and trust in God and let God drive. There's so much panic. I'm just staggered. Jump onto social media and throw something out there. I threw something out the other day. And man, did I get jumped on. They were talking about, lockdowns and stuff and how the Victorian government's evil because they're doing all this to us. And I said, well, maybe if everyone just did as they were told for a couple of weeks or maybe 4 weeks it'd take, it'd all be over. Worked for Adelaide. I shouldn't have said that. It was funny, wasn't it, Pauline? Andrew Bogut, who's been a reasonable friend, actually, jumped all over me. Good on you, Bogie. Just this hatred of the opposing sides that we talked before about Trump and the other guy, we can't remember his name because he can't remember our name. And the distrust of the government. And people turning on each other. You watch the stuff in Melbourne and it's people turning on each other. I don't agree with you because I'm a better person than you. You don't know what you're talking about, and I do because I'm better than you. You're wrong. It's that simple. It's just, it'll get worse. I assure you it'll get worse. Trust God. Obey God. Be at peace. Take your hands off the wheel. On the next slide, Paul wrote these words to the Philippians. We're getting close to the end. I won't bore you too much longer. These words are so relevant now. So this is how Paul wrapped up his thing to the Philippians. They were getting worried about things. Things weren't quite what we've got going on right now, but they were scared. I want to close today with these words and hear these words that Paul's writing these letters, not to the Philippians, but he's writing them to you, everybody here today. God's got it. Leave it with him. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Sorry, I had to get that in. That's an old salvo hymn. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Gentleness. People got to see you as gentle. That'd be nice. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. So the smartest minds in the world can't work out the peace of God. That includes us. We'll guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And finally, brothers and sisters, and the other 70 genders. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, all the good stuff. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Spend your time on those things. Don't be worried about the things that might happen or the bad things that might happen. Spend your time on pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. And whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice and the God of peace will be with you. Amen. Lord, thank you for a reminder that amidst the chaos outside, there is peace here and there is peace wherever you are. And your word tells me That's wherever I go, because you're here with me. It's no longer me that's living, it's you that's living in me. Thank you, God, for all the peace that we can have and for the difference that we can make in the world, that when all the chaos and everything's breaking out, they'll look at us and go, what's up with you? You're not calm. You're almost in a coma. Bless us all this week. May this mess straighten out. I've had enough of it. We ain't going to worry about it, God. I know you've got it in your hands. Bless us all. Bless those who are worried. Bless those who have lost people. Bless those who are doing it so tough and tough beyond anything we can understand, particularly here in Adelaide. And give us peace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week. There's tea and coffee out the front. There's not tea and coffee out the front. There's sunny weather outside out the front. And if you live at my house, that means we've got some gardening to do. Be people of peace this week. And remember, let God drive. Amen.